This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. We're taping in the offices of KRVS on UL Lafayette's campus with the assistance of Operations Manager James A. Beer. Our show is supported by our premier sponsors. First, I'd like to thank Iberia Bank. Founded in 1887, Iberia Bank is the largest bank based in Louisiana and is headquartered in Lafayette, with 325 combined locations throughout the South. They offer the resources of a national bank with the personal touch of a community bank. Please visit iberiabank.com for more information. We're also grateful for the support of Lafayette General Health. As Acadiana's largest nonprofit, community-owned regional health system, Lafayette General Health is committed to restoring, maintaining, and improving health in the communities it serves. For more information, visit LafayetteGeneral.com. Tyler LaFleur, performance coach and functional medicine practitioner, is our guest today on Discover Lafayette, and he's been a recurring guest on our sister podcast, Nourish Your Health. Tyler offers health and executive performance coaching through his company, HPHI. Tyler earned a degree in nursing at UL Lafayette and is certified as an exercise physiologist, a functional medicine practitioner, and he has a master's in leadership, arts, and science from the Thayer Institute. In this episode, Tyler and I will focus on the importance of sleep and, just as importantly, what an executive coach can do to enhance your performance and your health. Tyler, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be back. This is always fun.
Yeah, this is our third show and the first time you've been on Discover Lafayette. I was interested with the start of the new year. What is this now? January 21st, 2020. I'd like to get people off on the right foot, learning more about the importance of sleep, how we can take care of our health, and really more of what you do when you coach people, when somebody walks into your office, what you can do. So where would you like to start?
I guess we'd start with the importance, like you say, the importance of sleep.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sleep deprived sitting here. My husband's coming off surgery, and he's up three times a night. God bless him. Not trying to be loud, but he's in pain. He's up getting ice packs all night, and it affects all of us.
Well, and that's usually the case. It's the new year. Everyone wants to start something fresh, and life has no reset button. So we come to the new year, people have more focus, but they don't have any decrease in their problems. Mm-hmm. So like you're talking about, there's always surgery, there's children, there's stress, there's parties, there's all these different things that we just prioritize over getting a good night's sleep. And it's extremely cliche in the health industry. I mean, you'll read articles on, you know, the importance of sleep and the books on sleep and, you know, increase your productivity and all these things with a good night's rest. And people just overlook how important, you know, it is in the whole realm even of human existence. So you have four primary drivers, right, as humans, just for the sake of continuing our existence, and that's food, water, sex, and sleep.
Oh, well, to procreate, yeah.
That's right.
Okay. So we can talk about that another time.
That's right. But the existence of our species are those four. Uh-huh. And what everyone wants is, well, I want a better diet. I want certain supplements. I want to be able to, you know, I'll drink enough water, but how can I drink a certain amount of alcohol? And, you know, they want everything packaged and something simple. And as much as we want to sleep, as much as most people like to sleep, you know, you inevitably run into issues. And that's especially in today's realm of business ownership, parenting, you know, always looking to put more
into less.
That's right.
Well, we've spoken, I think I mentioned to you, I slept just so soundly. Even through college, I had a fire in my dorm room. And I didn't wake up. The police, it was actually my sorority house, but the police had to come in, the firemen, and I was sound asleep with all the commotion. And then I started law school, and I never really slept well again. I think the stress, and then once I got out of law school, I guess maybe a lot of stress in life, and I knew I needed to sleep. But on our second interview that we did, you told me about this book, Why We Sleep: Unlocking the Power of Sleep and Dreams by Matthew Walker, PhD, and I checked it out from the library. I'm a big library person. And when I read it, it seems that every disease that we fear the most can be directly linked to a lack of sleep, whether it's Alzheimer's, obesity, diabetes, autoimmune disease, cardiovascular, cancer. And most of us don't know this. We think of lack of sleep making us maybe fall asleep at the wheel, which is dangerous, or not being able to perform at our highest level. But this is even down to the cellular level about why we need. And he says not just average sleep, which is probably 6 hours for most of us, but 8 hours a night. And so because of you, I read this book, and I'm really trying to take much more intentional steps on getting rest. So I wanted you to talk with us today about what you see with your clients, people you coach, and what we need to do to take better care of ourselves.
Sure. So the biggest thing that, with working with executives, it's return on investment. So what they find is sleeping does not increase their bank account directly. It's more of an indirect, reaping of the harvest. So, the biggest thing that you talked about, you just said, was the stress. And so stress is physical, it's mental, and it all has the same effect. And what you'll see is that there's this orchestra, if you will, of your hormones. And a lot of the time, which you can measure most of these, but, your circadian rhythm, which is your day and night sleep cycle, is one of the most important things that I see, especially with my executives, in order to orchestrate a good night's rest. So,
how does that work?
So, you have mainly two hormones, cortisol and melatonin. And if you actually mapped those out on a 24-hour cycle, you would see that when cortisol is high, melatonin is low. And so, that would be in the wee hours of the morning. So, think from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m., you have cortisol start to rise. And cortisol is the quote-unquote stress hormone. Right, because we have too much of it all the time, but technically it is one of the promoters of the circadian rhythm. So you want increased cortisol in the morning, and then you want decreased cortisol at night. And cortisol is decreasing, melatonin is increasing.
So you can actually go to sleep.
That's right. And you can actually test cortisol rhythm with salivary samples. So in my clinic, I will run salivary cortisol samples, which you basically spit into this tube 4 times a day. What you want to see is a high, that's usually normal, high normal cortisol, and then it decreases throughout the day until about, 7, 8 p.m. Okay, and then that's when you would want melatonin rising. And what I see is that over time, you will have this skewed curve. So you either have too low of cortisol, which are the people that they struggle to get out of bed, they're snoozing 15 times, they drink, 5 cups of coffee, and they still can't get themselves going. And then you have the others that they have higher levels of cortisol. So they feel fine in the morning, but they can't go to bed at night. And we just ran a client, and that's what they have. So they'll have a normal cortisol in the morning, but at night, usually around that 5 p.m., it's not dropping. Mm-hmm. That's right. And so that's the ones that'll sit in bed and be like, well, I can't sleep, so I'm just going to either scroll social media, I'm going to, binge on Netflix, I'm going to answer emails,
Or they may nod off at 9:30, but then they stay up doing stuff, and then by 11, it's like,
that's
wired.
Right. Huh? That's right. Or they wake up from 1 to 3 a.m. And they can't go back to sleep. That's usually, I'll know if somebody doesn't want to do the testing, let's do it and let's see, and then we'll figure it out from there. But that's one of them that, you just can't escape. As kids, we could get away with so much more, and then we were exhausted. So we're going to sleep, everybody's sleeping soundly, and then you don't have this, as much of a circadian, shift. I remember, you'd go out to whatever, bars, and then when you get home, if you went to bed at 4, you could sleep till 11.
Right.
You're fine. Now,
got responsibilities.
Even if you could, most people find that they won't sleep late. It's just they can't do it. So if they get to bed at, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., they're still getting up at 6 and 7. And if you actually monitor their sleep, it's horrible. It's garbage. So it's not restorative by any means.
So what causes, first of all, I know you've told me before, the cortisol is like that fight or flight, like you're ready to go fight the dinosaurs, let's say. But the dinosaurs might just be traffic, money problems, marital. I think before you mentioned crappy relationships.
Right.
I love that term. But there are a lot of things that cause us to feel like we want to go fight, even if we don't want to fight, but we're just on edge. But how do we counteract this? If we're not sleeping well, I want to talk second about what health problems it causes, but how do you relax and take care of yourself?
Well, that's a lot of work, but it starts with, you know, being intentional. So most of my guys, you know, they're busy. Everybody, when you ask an executive or a business owner, how are you? Busy. I'm busy because you have kids, you have a wife, you have friends, you hunt, you know, football season just ended. Mm-hmm. It was always tailgating. It's always something besides work. And then most of my guys are owning everyone else's problems. So one is boundaries. And if the executive doesn't have any boundaries with, you know, I don't answer certain phone calls after whatever. Mm-hmm. A startup's different, right? So these guys that start businesses, we're just crazy anyway. You know, we like that sort of grind. But what you find is that people get caught up in that trap. And so now they have to get up super early in the morning. They're answering emails. They're doing work. Then they have to get up. They have to bring their kids. Mm-hmm. You know, they're in traffic. They have meetings in the morning. They're getting calls. Nobody separates and just segments that time. You know, you see the cliche, the meditation. You know, I'll tell my guys, you don't have to sit there and meditate, but turn off all your alarms and put your phone on silent and just sit there. And most people freak out. They can't sit in the silence. And that's years of us just, oh, there's Facebook. Oh, there's this red notification on my phone. Oh, we're going to listen to the radio. They can't just sit in the silence. And where that originates from with most of my guys is that if you ask them, let me see your to-do list. Let me see your calendar. And it's all reactionary. Mm-hmm. So the ones that are super stressed, they have no boundaries. There's just no segments in their life. So they're unstructured.
And that's where you come in with the Thayer Institute training.
Oh, yeah. Or just
common
asking,
sense.
Yeah. Or asking the sense. Common sense isn't so common. But,
no,
you know, you're asking the questions that they either won't ask themselves or people around them are afraid because they're in a power seat. Uh-huh. Right. So nobody wants to challenge the CEO. They don't want to challenge the boss. Mm-hmm. And most of us are, you know, from lack of sleep are irritable and pissed off half the time anyway. So we snap back at people or, you know, and most of the time, and that's what I'm asking people is, okay, let me see what your day looks like. Let me see what the goal of this is. You know, I run a health company. If you were to ask me, well, why do you have all this other stuff on your calendar if this was the main focus? And most of these guys have been going, girls too, they've been operating at such a unstructured pace for years that now
they don't even think about it, right?
That's the status quo.
So at HPHI, people will show up, and we're not doing this as a plug for you. I mean, you're on as my guest because I think this is important news, but they will show up, and I met you through Vince Hayward, and then you knew Chris Rader, but you've dealt with big company owners, and they come to you for help because they're not only trying to get in shape, but also, like you said, get a handle on where their time goes and where their the outcomes of what they're doing, right? So they bring you their calendar, they bring you their
most
problems.
Of them. Well, most of them, I see access. You know, I can have access to, you know, whether it's dinners or, you know, they have certain meetings or
I travel a lot. I can't eat well.
That's right.
I can't sleep well because I'm always on the
road.
That's
right. So you can always troubleshoot those problems. But one, you have to be willing to do it, right? And then it's most of the guys that I'll work with, it's not that, hey, I want to increase my performance. That's never what they show up with. Hey, Tyler, I want to increase my organizational performance, my health performance or my relationships or my life. That's not it.
They want to lose weight or what? Better health?
They don't want to trade their health for their wealth. And that's what most of them do. And that's what you ask anybody, you're busy. Oh, what are you busy doing? What are you busy doing? Mm-hmm. And it's working or keeping your head above water or keeping your roof over your head, your kids fed. It's all these things that we have responsibility that we can't live the life we want given the life we have. And so whenever you take someone that when they show up, they don't want to die. No one wants to. Most of the men that I coach, they do not want to have a stroke. They do not want to have a heart attack. They don't want to be, you know, debilitated in any way from a health perspective because they'll hear one little thing on the radio podcast or they'll have a friend, family member, somebody
drops,
has a scare.
Drops on
That's
the
right.
treadmill.
That's
but
right.
most people don't go to the doctor once a year either.
Correct.
They wait until they have problems.
That's right. They don't run the test that they need to run. And look, a lot of my clients aren't necessarily day in, day out, you know, we're grinding. Some of them are, yes, but other ones we're just looking proactively to say, okay, these are the four tests that we usually want to run just to see. if you, you know, based on what I know, is going to show up as a stroke, a heart attack, cancer. That's what most people are scared of. The ones that just don't want to get fat, or, you know, they want to lose weight, they gain, you know, 40 pounds building their business, mm-hmm. whatever it is, that stuff's easy.
It is.
Yes. It's on the, it's the proactive side of saying, okay, let's run these tests just to check. But that still doesn't stop some people. You know, this isn't a magic bullet.
Right.
You know? But it's what we're talking about, you know, from a sleep perspective, they do have some CEOs out there that they prioritize their meals, they prioritize their sleep, they prioritize their exercise, and it's, they are regimented. And that's the one thing that if you dig deeper to see, hey, well, what's your secret? They plan their time. That's right. They own their time.
Without mentioning names, I'm thinking of a few men. I mean, there's women too, but I'm thinking of some of the men that have large companies here that have been in business a long time. And the ones I'm thinking of in my mind are slim. They're always on time and they're relaxed. And they've got to be doing what you're talking about.
It's not
they've
by
got
accident.
To plan.
It's not
yeah.
by accident.
They take care of themselves and they have a good staff that keeps them protected.
Right. They don't own all the problems.
Yeah. They're not putting out fires. They're building.
Correct.
They're building things
Correct.
That they want to be building. And you can see it. We all know people that are just scattershot, you know. And so, a lot of them are very effective. They're doing well. But they're probably killing themselves in the long term.
That's right. So. And it's not always, you know, obesity. A lot of the guys that I work with.
The heart.
That's right. But that's what they think, though, is I'm not really overweight. And I would almost rather them be overweight.
Fat enough.
Well,
yeah.
Because you just don't see it as much. That's right. But you don't see it as much. I don't see these obese people that just have these horrible, you know, blood markers and all this stuff. It's always these rail thin, or they have like the little bit of the beer belly, right? Well, I got this little, and they'll touch their stomach, and I'm like, that is what's killing you. And then you run the markers, and it's a crap show. I mean, it's bad.
So let's jump ahead. So you're helping somebody, let's say, how, when you see that somebody's got like no boundaries and they're not sleeping, they're probably doing other things too. They're not taking care of their diet and basic needs, but what do you tell people, like in this book, Why We Sleep? I know there's some suggestions, but you deal with this every day. What do you tell people they can do to get their sleep back on track? What are some basic things? You said the calendar is probably a big one.
Yeah. And I mean, I usually ask a bunch of questions before I start spitting out a bunch of quote unquote hacks.
Like,
and,
are you on your iPad at midnight in
the
bed?
Yeah, just what's your routine look like? I mean, the first question is, do you want to get better or worse? Because I can help you with both. Because that's the truth. Most people, they'll say, well, no, I heard you can help me. And no, we can help you. I can't help you. I mean, that's what the fallacy of all this. Oh, well, I have a coach and a dietitian.
I have to own my own person.
That's right. I said on the last podcast, most people prefer a problem they can't solve to a solution they don't like. And that's usually the case. Okay, you want to make some changes. Let's talk about what the problem is. And so, like you said, if, you know, when the sun goes down, let's talk about what type of light you're looking at. If you're watching TV, if you're scrolling on your phone, on your laptop, all these things are going to delay sleep onset.
Because of the blue light?
That's right. That's right. So scientifically, you have the what's called the suprachiasmatic nucleus, whatever, it's a long word. Essentially, that's what runs the melatonin production. So when that is triggered by blue light, which anything besides, you know, fire color light, right? You're thinking oranges, your reds, all the blue is what triggers it. So the longer that's being triggered, the more delay you have before melatonin gets produced.
So if you're like watching TV, go to bed at 10 and then pull out your phone or your iPad.
Same.
And an hour goes by and you're, I don't know if you do that, you don't, but other people get on Facebook.
No, I do not. I will not get on Facebook
once or whatever
I'm in
it is,
bed.
You know, or maybe, oh my gosh, Aaron Hernandez special, which I just saw this weekend, you know. You can't just watch one.
Well,
you want to watch all of
that's
it.
That's right. Well, it's the drama.
Midnight.
That's right. Well, that's all what we say, you know, dopamine, right? You get these dopamine surges. You want to keep scrolling.
I don't know when does this, but me. But,
yeah. Everyone does it. No one wants to lay there, right? Because, well, I lay there and I just stare at the ceiling, right? Because they're bored because they've been triggered all day long. So there's always this what we call a digital sunset, okay? So technically, there's got to be a certain time that you just do not open your phone, read emails, scroll Facebook.
Okay, what time?
It depends. So ideally, when the sun goes down.
What?
Ideally.
5:30?
I'm saying ideally because you don't want.
Because wintertime, it's so early.
That's right. Or you could just get those blue light blocking glasses, right? So there's mm-hmm. tons of companies, but like Swanee's for one. Swanson, they make these glasses that have these really dark orange lenses. So if you're going to stare at a screen, or like everyone else, you don't have a fire inside of your house, you're not going by candlelight, so mm-hmm. you do have lights inside your home, mm-hmm. technically, you could use those and it will...
Oh, lights will trigger that too, just regular yes. Incandescent bulbs.
Like these,
bulbs.
Yes. Uh-huh. So... having the blue light. Now, I can tell you from experience with executives who have worn them once the sun goes down, for me, I will get sleepy. I can't watch a movie, stay up and watch a movie with my wife, right? Because mm-hmm. I will start falling asleep with the glasses on. You
That's
will
cool.
notice. You, it's cool.
Say the name of the company again.
Well, Swanson, but uh-huh. they're called Swanee's. So it's Swanee's. I mean, that's just
so
one.
So it's like the old days, like when farmers would,
that's
the
right.
sun goes down and you have dinner and.
Right. And yeah. they're not sexy. I mean, you're wearing orange glasses. Uh-huh. They're not super cool, but they're effective. And the other thing is that most of my guys, just by wearing the glasses, if we're monitoring them mm-hmm. with a Whoop or an Aura,
like a what do you call it? Just smart devices.
That's right.
Yeah.
If we're monitoring the different types of sleep, so you have mm-hmm. REM, you have non-REM. If you're looking at non-REM deep sleep, mm-hmm. it increases. So that was the one thing that I noticed probably 3 or 4 years ago, was that when they would ask me, well, what do you think the change was? I noticed that once they started wearing the glasses when the sun went down, they could get into deep sleep faster.
And what does that do?
That's where 95% of your growth hormone is produced. So that
restorative.
Is, that's right. That's your restorative uh-huh. sleep. That is from your training, from your mental stress, your reading, all your learning. That's when it gets uh-huh. composited and whatever. Solidified
right.
in the brain.
So when people come to you, and I was thinking of our friend Vince Hayward. That's how I met you, from Camellia Beans. And I know he's a wonderful guy, and he told me, you've got to meet Tyler. So people come to you with maybe weight issues or something, but you really drill down and look at
habits.
All the things. Like the weight is probably just a symptom
yes.
of a much bigger issue.
That's right, of their thinking.
Of their thinking.
That's right.
All of us.
That's right.
But you deal with men, I think, more than women, just
yes.
because you're a guy and you're, you know, I mean, you're like a, just look like a, what, I don't know if you're a weightlifter, but I mean, you're super.
A dabble.
Buff, yes. So we're talking about why to get sleep. Besides the orange glasses and all, I mean, what are just some simple things that people don't realize they could be doing? I had asked you about golden milk. My 20-year-old daughter, Kelly, you know, they're all up late. And she told me about this golden milk that I don't think it tastes very good. But I bought some stuff at Costco, and it's turmeric. Mm-hmm. Am I pronouncing
yep.
it right? And you mix it with, I mix it with regular milk. I guess some people use almond milk. It's got a pepper extract. It is not what I would choose to drink if I like warm chocolate.
Well, yeah, it's not an ice cream sundae.
But that keeps you up too, like the chocolate keeps you up. But there are things people do besides the orange glasses, which probably 99% of the world doesn't know about. But what are some things you tell people to do? Like talk about the golden milk and other little suggestions maybe.
Yeah, so one would be getting to bed and waking up at the same time. So what we do... most business owners is what there's a term not coined by me called sleep bulimia. So what we do is we basically cut out sleep all week long and then think on the weekend, I'm mm-hmm. just going to binge. So you purge mm-hmm. all week, you get your 5 or 6 hours, and then you're going to go ahead and binge on sleep and get your mm-hmm. 10 to 12 hours, whatever, on the weekend.
And
that
days.
And that doesn't work.
Right.
I mean, that's been shown. It does not.
Uh-huh.
You can't play catch up, and you can't bank sleep. You can't say, oh, it's going to get crazy the next 2 days, you know, or an accountant, like tax season. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and bank my sleep. It doesn't work, right? So same time to bed and then same time waking up. And that usually takes a few weeks. So that's not like, oh, well, I usually go to bed at 11. I'm just going to go lay in bed at 9. Most people will go crazy. That they can't just lay there for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, not watching anything stressful. So I'll be honest, even for like the national championship game, we watched till halftime. And then
what?
And then
you turned off the TV.
Well,
what? And that wasn't looking that great.
Being the great father and husband that I am, I put our 2-year-old to bed and fell asleep. And I look at the score in the morning.
You can watch it later.
But if I watch it,
we stayed up.
Well, if I watch it before bed, I'm wired.
Yeah.
So if,
and I stayed up for all the post game stuff. You know.
Well, that's right. I mean, yeah. It's so close to home. Everybody, and that's a crappy example, but even any close sporting
events.
Well,
there's something every night almost. There's something going on.
We love drama. Nothing sticks from a TV series if there's no drama. So we want more drama. And that's what happens if you watch something or you're scrolling on Facebook or you read an email from a client or an employee that pisses you off. You're not just going to, you know.
Or reading a book on Kindle, which I don't like. I mean, I like a book.
Right.
But even then you've got light, but Kindle and all that is just
yeah, ideally
so
you want to put on those screens. I mean, they have the actual nightshade, right? But
so like probably going to bed at 10 if you want to get up at 6.
That's right. Right.
But even then you got to go to sleep right away.
Well, you have to start winding down. So this isn't a, you know, like you're telling me, "Oh, Tala, what do I do?" and I'm going to do it. That doesn't work. Most people, especially with sleep, that's not something you could say, "Okay, well, I'm used to eating donuts and, you know, Kashi cereal for breakfast. What do I do?" You can change your diet, but your sleep habits take work.
Yeah.
And that's you have to train that. Okay? So not watching anything. I tell people do not watch TV in bed. That is not something that most people are like, "Oh, well, I used to do it." Yeah, when you were a kid. And most of the time, if you measured sleep with or without, it's garbage. If they watch TV and fall asleep, it's usually not restful.
Okay.
So that's one. Another one would be caffeine. So we feel the effects of caffeine, you know, 30 minutes to 2 hours after drinking it. The problem is 6 to 8 hours after drinking it, you're still having the effect. So most people don't know how caffeine works. So caffeine blocks a receptor in the brain that is for adenosine. Okay, so you have this adenosine that binds to these receptors throughout the day, and that's what increases that sleep pressure. So you get more tired. When you drink caffeine or eat things with caffeine, it blocks those receptors, so the adenosine can't bind. Okay, and so the half-life of caffeine, it's still going to be acting on those receptors, even though you don't feel the buzz. So what you'll find is the further away people push their caffeine, which some people can stop, you know, at 2, some people can stop at 3 p.m.
Stop before noon. I can't
sleep.
That's
the ideal.
And that's not just coffee. That's Diet Coke.
That's right.
Chocolate.
That's right.
All kinds of tea.
You might be a slow metabolizer, too. So, you
know,
you
can. I'm just very susceptible to caffeine issues.
If you ran your genetic test, you'd probably see, you know, slow metabolizer of it. So, technically, it's going to stay in the system longer.
Yeah.
But even though you don't feel it, and some people say, "Oh, I can drink a cup of coffee and fall asleep within 2 hours." You can. But
not
if you look
sleep.
At the, that's right. If you actually look at the deep sleep, it's non-existent. Another one's alcohol. So I get this a lot. Well, if I don't drink, I don't drink, then I'm not tired. And there's other things you can take, you know, as far as to wind you down. But what we were talking about with the golden tea is it's the habit. So most people that, well, I have a glass of wine at night, or I have a scotch, or I have a whiskey, or I have vodka, or a beer. You know, I usually transition from what else can we do or drink, right, to replace it? And you can't just stop. You can't just say, "I'm not going to have anything," because now that ritual is key. So, alcohol is – most people will get tired and they will fall asleep.
And then it wakes you up.
Well, and then it's the same. It's the same with caffeine. You're deep
sleep. Metabolized.
That's right. And it's garbage. Deep sleep is garbage. So the other struggle I see is that people that drink, they'll fall asleep, but then, like you said, they're getting up earlier. So sometimes you'll get some deep sleep, and then you miss out on all your REM sleep. So your REM sleep is what happens, say, from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. You go through cycles, okay? So when you sleep, it's not just, okay, well, I'm sleeping, and it's light. Oh, now it's my REM, and I'm dreaming, and oh, now it's my deep sleep. It's these small circles, okay? So you cycle through all these stages throughout the night, but the percentages change. So the percentages from, say, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. are mainly deep sleep. And then it transitions to REM. So the people that are like, "Well, I'll stay up late, but then I'll go ahead and try and sleep later." We don't do that. Most executives can't stay up late and then, "Well, I'm just going to show up at 8.
And then the sun's up and
that's right.
All that triggers
that's
wake
right.
up. Huh?
So the not drinking and figuring out ways, you know, to nod off, you know, to sleep.
Yeah.
That's one. What's another one? Oh, sleeping pills. So Ambien, Lunesta. Most people will take those if they're prescribed, or they will resort to, what is it, Advil PM, even like Benadryl. What I like to tell people is being unconscious is not the same thing as restorative sleep.
It's like Michael Jackson, huh? Well, propofol, well, whatever that stuff was.
That's serious. But if you were taking Ambien, most people say, well, it's the only thing that keeps me asleep throughout the night. But it's not restorative. So you see all these issues of the people that you can always trace this back. So antidepressants, I mean, some people take Xanax so they can sleep, and it's not restorative sleep. So I would tell you that, you know, staying up all night is not good for depression and anxiety, right? Because you need that unconsciousness, if you will. But to think that it's the same as getting restorative sleep, and that's why most people that'll do it for months, they start to notice, I can't remember certain things, or I keep forgetting things on my calendar, or I know I read this.
Did I mail that letter? Did I call my mom?
Or you've read the same paragraph.
And don't remember.
That's right. Three times, and you're not retaining it. That's signs of you're not compartmentalizing, right? What you're reading, what you're seeing, all that stuff. You can't take it in and put it back into memory. That's what's going on. That's a big deal.
In this book, Why We Sleep, one of the things that really got to me, and it just goes against what most of us think. They gave an example of Matthew Walker, PhD, gave an example of a student studying for a test. And most people, like, let's say you're studying a week ahead, and you really study, you know, the week prior to the test, which to me would be a good student. I never did all that. But we all think we need to get a good night's sleep just before the test. But he was given statistics showing that studies had shown that if you don't, like, you could sleep even four nights well, but if you don't sleep every night, like you were saying, you can't just do it now and then and catch up, bank your sleep. If you don't sleep well every night leading up to that test, you still lose about 50% of what learned.
That's right.
And most of us wouldn't think that. We'd think, well, I got my sleep tonight, last night, I'm going to sleep well tomorrow night, but I may go out with my buddies on Wednesday night because it tested until Friday. And he's like, it doesn't stick in our brain.
That's right.
And I don't really understand how that works, but I know this deep restorative sleep is very important.
Right. And that's, so most people are familiar with, you know, your lymphatic system. Okay, so you have your lymph nodes, you have your spleen, and essentially you're pushing all this lymph fluid from an immune perspective all over the body. And it's not like your heart's pumping blood. You have to move, you have to bounce, you have to get all this stuff. Well, you have in your brain the glymphatic system. Okay, so that is your cerebral spinal fluid that has to flow in the brain, in the spinal cord, okay, up and down.
Well, with the G?
Yes.
Glymphatic.
So it's glial cells. Okay. Some Danish guy named it. I don't go look it up. It's on the internet. But essentially when you sleep, during deep sleep, is when the brain cleanses, if you will. Okay, so as this fluid bathes in and out of the brain, right, you get all the nasty toxins and the buildup. So just being awake, you have this low oxidative stress. Okay, so that when that builds up, you have all these free radicals that build up, and then they have to get washed out. If you don't wash it out, that's when you start to see the higher incidence of dementia and Alzheimer's. So, you know, part of
the plaques.
That's right. That's right. So that's what you start to see. And it's, you know, you can try and go down the rabbit hole and pinpoint, oh, it's exactly this. But that's what I'm telling you. Something so easy that it's not a pill. If I described with
this is free. Well, sleep is free.
Correct.
If you can get it.
That's right. Well, if you can focus on it, right, and you prioritize it. But if I were to list out all these things, okay, and tell you, Dan, I have this supplement that we finally made it. Okay, we went to the deep Amazon rainforest and finally we have it. And it decreases risk of type 2 diabetes, it decreases risk of developing cardiovascular disease, decreases dementia, decreases cancer, increases immune system.
Oh, I'm in.
That's right.
Where can I buy
it? You have your checkbook, and that's what sleep does. So anybody that comes and says, well, tell me what to eat, tell me how to train, and I'll do it. That's great. But even the bodybuilders, the athletes, everybody knows it's not the training, it's the recovery.
Right.
And it's the same for the executives. But athletes are different. So they will train and put all the stress in that one little subset, and then they eat and they do all this active recovery. And we don't do that. In the executive world, that's not what we do. It's more. So I work 14-hour days, and now you want me to exercise. Now you want me to cook meals. Now you want me to do all this stuff. No, no. You mm-hmm. have to reprioritize. One is sleep. If you're not mm-hmm. sleeping, so if you had to ask me, all right, Tyler, you get the choice between sleeping 8 hours or you're going to train. You're going to get an exercise session in. It's always sleep.
Is it?
Always sleep. So that's something that it's just – it's not sexy. Mm-hmm. That's not something that – it's like, oh, this new fancy workout, this mm-hmm. new supplement, you know, this new diet. It's not sexy. So it doesn't stick with people. But I will tell you that any of the people that I've worked with that have gotten cancer – we all have cancer.
Right.
Everybody has cancer in their bodies. But your immune system mm-hmm. will – attack it, right? And it'll inject and it'll kill whatever's there. It'll stop it from growing and then metastasizing. That's right. Well,
that was also in this book. Well, if you're not rested,
that's right.
Your body does not release immune fighting cells.
So it was four hours of sleep. So if you cut your sleep in half mm-hmm. in one night, they showed that you had a 70% decrease in T cell.
Right.
And that's the ones that identify and attack cancer. Right. So it's the same for testosterone. Most men that get 5 hours of sleep or less a night have testosterone less. I think it was like 10 or 15% less than someone 10 years older.
Wow. That's well rested.
That's right.
So and it's also getting a cold, like anything you're exposed to, the flu.
Well, that's right.
A cold. If you don't rest one night and you're exposed to something, most days you could fight it off. But that day, if you didn't sleep well, you're pretty vulnerable.
With most people when they travel, mm-hmm. right? So most of my guys that go
yeah.
all over the nation or they go international.
We think it's the plane. That's right. It's the plane.
It's
the
stress. And it's a cumulative stress, but uh-huh. it's not when they get there. They're not sick. It's when they come home. Okay? That's when the sleep, the stress, everything has accumulated. Uh-huh. So now you've gone 2 or 3 days with really crappy sleep. Oh, well, I was entertaining. So they're drinking. And looking at it, I mean, I could show you yeah. 3 and 4 day stints of my guys who do travel for mm-hmm. business
and
or
marketing.
And they're
up at 7 for breakfast and they're hitting it.
And they, but by showing them that red every day, now when they get back, mm-hmm. people are like, well, I have to do this, whatever it is. You know, maybe it's a certain time of year. That's fine. But what are you doing to make up for it? Mm-hmm. And that's where it's like, well, if I can't get 100%, I won't do it at all. And that is the most foolish mindset, but that's how they operate their business, mm-hmm. right? It is 100% all in. But whenever you start to say, look, I mean, I've seen it. For most of the people that I've coached, worked with, whatever, that have had cancer, none of them are like, I sleep really well. Mm-hmm. I monitor it. It's really deep and restorative. I exercise. I eat majority plants, really anti-inflammatory diet. That's never the case.
What do they eat?
Plants. Plant-based usually. Mm-hmm. If you're eating to decrease inflammation, then you're eating to improve sleep. You're eating to increase muscle mass, all that stuff. Recover better. Mm-hmm. It's all the same thing, cardiovascular disease. So if you look at all these different diets, your keto, your paleo, your intermittent fasting, any of those diets, and you put them together, you would see that in the middle, they're all the same thing. They're all eating whole foods.
Yeah, they're not all consuming Ritz crackers.
That's
and,
right.
Cheese
they all eliminate sugar. They uh-huh. all. But if any of these diet books, pull any off the shelf, and they're always going to mention mm-hmm. sleep. You can do all this stuff. You could take all the supplements you want. You can train as well or as hard as you want. And eating whatever types of foods at, you know, mm-hmm. whatever's optimal for your body. Mm-hmm. And if you are not sleeping, it is. It doesn't even count.
Right.
Like, it's not something that you can crawl out of. It's sleep.
In this book, it was interesting. I don't know where it was in it, but talking about studies where people would volunteer and not sleep and the horrible things that would happen to them. But there was one guy that developed a disease where he just couldn't sleep. And he died.
Yes.
I mean, I know we need water. We can probably do without food for quite a long time. Most of us have enough blubber, you know, to take care of that. But even if you're thin, you can get by without food for quite a while, but not water, and then mainly not sleep.
Yeah.
And I think until recently, scientists didn't understand how important sleep was to the underlying
of everything.
Health, health of us.
Well, yeah. If you look at, you know, I always joke, so 2012, most people remember the Red Bull stratosphere jump, okay? Yeah. So Felix Baumgartner, we take a man, we put him in an air balloon, we bring him to the stratosphere, okay, then we have him jump out of the stratosphere into our atmosphere, right? He's tumbling, right? Your fun fact was he was wearing a monitor that we used whenever I was doing the offshore monitoring. And so on that company's Facebook page, I was their profile picture. And Felix Baumgartner was their, what you call it, the one in the background, right? So the story that was building up to it was ridiculous of his training. But the fact that we could do all that and have him parachute back, okay, just for a Guinness Book of World Record, for the highest jump ever, but the Guinness Book of World Records will not allow a submission for sleep. So we'll take someone out of the atmosphere and jump back into it.
Which is crazy.
But, hey, I'm going to go the longest without – they won't even let you do it.
I read that. I'm glad you brought that up. So Guinness will not allow people to try to beat any world record on no sleep.
No.
Because they know it'll kill you.
It'll kill you. Yeah.
It's deadly.
That's right.
But not jumping like a hyena from
That's what I'm saying. So you look at most of the stuff in the Guinness Book of World Records, and it's crazy to most people. But if you
no sleep. You could just be in your rocking chair not sleeping.
That's right. And they won't let you do it.
They won't let you do it. They won't post it.
That's right. It won't count.
Yeah. So you mentioned inflammation. In our last podcast, we talked about the same diseases you're mentioning now that lack of sleep will, I guess, spur obesity, diabetes, Hashimoto's, all these things also were related to the leaky gut or inflammation in the system,
right,
which were triggered not just by foods, but stress.
That's right.
The same things we're talking about that keep people from sleeping. I mean, it's all connected, huh?
It's like it paints a beautiful picture, right? Yeah,
it's all the same thing.
But it's all the same thing. So hormones are king. As I tell everybody, hormones are king. You can say calories. You can say a certain type of training. You can say, okay, well, I sleep a certain amount. Okay, show me your sleep and let's see how restorative it is. Because restorative sleep, you're looking at growth hormone, right? Your testosterone, you know, cortisol and insulin are the two primary players we're talking about. So inflammation-wise, you can go on a lack of sleep. But then what you start to see is you start gaining, right? Belly fat, whatever, around the waist. But when cortisol is constantly high, which it decreases during sleep, okay, if it's constantly high, then you're going to start losing muscle mass and your body is going to bear hug the fat that's on your body. It will not release it. Okay, that is the signal you're sending to your body.
So young children sleep like babies, literally, and teenagers sleep the sleep of the dead.
That's right.
But as we get older, we all seem to be up. Well, and that's when we gain weight and lose our muscle mass.
The hormones, right. And that's I mean, there's a lot at play there.
What comes first, though? Is it the hormones triggering it, or you think it's the lifestyle?
Well, your hormones are you're fighting that anyway. So it's the same, if you look at all the centenarians, okay, so they die the same things that we die of, and it's cancer, it's heart disease, right?
But in their 100-something.
Correct. So that should tell you something. So what is prolonging their life and not everyone else? And so that's the thing. When people are like, well, I don't want to die of a heart attack. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, you more than likely will if you don't die from cancer.
Right.
It's going to be a stroke or heart attack. It's you're trying to fight the progression. And by not sleeping, you are inviting all these diseases.
Early.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Because you as a child, you have the capacity. So you have the growth hormone. You have these surges of certain hormones that either clean up all the damage, or they can repair it super fast. So that's why you see all these athletes that'll take growth hormone. It's not so that they can get big and muscular. It's that they can recover. And whoever can train harder and recover faster is the one that he's the better athlete, right? As adults, we start to lose our capacity to do that. So you are fighting that battle anyway. But by not sleeping and allowing those restorative processes to take place, you're expediting all this disease. So most of the time, like I told you, it's not, you know, you'll get people that say, oh, well, you know, I have 60% blockage, my coronary arteries or my carotid arteries or 55% block, but they look normal. That's why it's a silent killer, right? I forgot the research. Even with when you don't sleep, right, and you have, say, metabolically, certain amount of cholesterol, you have the same as another cohort, but your blood pressure was out of whack. So say 160 over 110. The blood pressure effect just from the stress, which is cortisol, not sleeping, that is going to expedite the disease even further. So most of the time, people that say, oh, I have high blood pressure, go back and look at their sleep. Everybody wants to tackle the easy mm-hmm. things like blood sugar, right?
Right.
Let's look at your mental stress, right? It's never, well, hey, let's see how you're sleeping. But mm-hmm. I can tell you either the person who thinks they're sleeping is the one that, like for the men, they're snoring. So mm-hmm. that's when they're told they need a CPAP, right? They have sleep apnea. That's what's driving up the blood pressure, right? It's all these other things that's great you can do and you should be mm-hmm. doing. But without that restorative sleep, it doesn't work. It's just, right. It's futile, right?
So for this new year, we're in 2020. Let's encourage people to get their sleep. I do want to have people look at this book, Why We Sleep, Unlocking the Power of Sleep and Dreams by Matthew Walker, PhD. And I'd like to send them to your website to look at, I know you've got a blog, you've got a lot of different things in our podcast, nourishyourhealth.life. We talked about some of this. I mentioned the book on the second podcast. Are there a couple other quick things you can tell people? I know my daughter confirmed for me, I like to have the bedroom at 65 degrees. And she told me that on top of that, I should be taking a warm bath before because it helps the body relax, but you need to cool down, right?
That's right.
To be able to sleep more soundly. Is that
yes.
accurate?
Yeah. So what I tell people is some people do well with cool before bed. Mm-hmm. But what I've seen and what the research shows is that it's the change in body temperature. Okay. So
right.
sauna, hot tub use, whatever it is, even during the day, if you have an extreme heating and the body has to cool itself, usually there's deeper sleep involved once you fall asleep.
Even like the dry sauna, like
yes.
at the health club at 2
yes.
in the afternoon, that'll still help you at
yes.
night?
Yes. So even having the hot bath.
That feels so good.
Well, the theory is, when you get in a hot Epsom salt bath, like I'll tell most people, technically,
magnesium.
But you are increasing mm-hmm. your body temperature. But your body has to work to decrease it, and it's also it dilates all the capillaries on the skin. Okay, that's how you cool off, mm-hmm. and so it draws all that heat out, and you get the whiplash, the benefit of the whiplash of that. So as it's cooling the body rapidly, most people, including myself, if I take a cold bath before bed, I'm wired. That is a sympathetic driver. Mm-hmm. So that's your fight or flight, right? Some
yeah.
people, they'll take a cool bath, which is encouraged, not an ice bath, like a cool shower, and you can cool the body and get in bed. But if you take a super hot bath, what I've noticed is that does, yeah. I will feel loopy.
And like, that feels better.
Well, right.
magnesium, with the Epsom salts.
That's right.
Yeah.
Magnesium helps.
Uh-huh. I take that at night, melatonin and magnesium. I don't know if I should, but
well, yeah, that
seems to help me.
Right. And that's just running off a few. So supplement wise mm-hmm. to help people, there's a supplement I recommend when people that are trying to come off of other sleeping pills or mm-hmm. Xanax, stuff like that. It's called Pro Thrivers Wellness. That's a good one. For my executives, there's a company called Neurohacker Collective, I believe, and the supplement is called Eternus. And so it's not cheap, but if you look at some of the research on cognitive performance mm-hmm. after taking it during the day and then the increase in deep sleep at night, it's pretty ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah, but it's not cheap. A lot. So it's a lot of B vitamins. They have NAD. They have a lot of the curcumin and the PQQ, all that stuff. So
like what's not cheap?
Not cheap, yeah. like with the supplement wise. Uh-huh. I think it's either 70
for a bottle.
Yeah, for the month. I think it's 70 to like 90
what
a month.
You sleep.
Well,
you can pay that for sleeping pills.
And no one said, even the people didn't say that, oh, well, I felt like I slept. They looked at the actual scores, and deep sleep was sometimes up to like 200% increase. Uh-huh. So it was ridiculous. Shameless plug, CBD. So
yeah.
I do have a CBD company, Silver Seed. So what I've noticed is that people that are wired at night that are looking to wind down mm-hmm. faster is taking it in bed.
And how much do you take? Is it by?
It just depends. Yeah. Well, you have different milligrams, but I would say start slow. Start low and go slow. So
don't
you
smoke pot, but take your
CBD. Interesting. So that's interesting. So THC is not great for deep sleep.
Okay.
So CBD itself is.
But
THC
not,
is not.
Will marijuana wake you up just like drinking?
No, but it just affects the mm-hmm. deep sleep. Uh-huh. And then you have that whole munchies thing. So people wake up.
You got your throat being burned.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
But so it's still, even if you took the tinctures or there's the
gummies
or
I know.
You can get all this stuff. Uh-huh. I mean, not here legally, but
right.
if you take
you have
it
to go to Florida
or Colorado. And if you go and you try it, most people say, oh, well, I felt I slept better. And they can if they have inflammatory issues. It's like taking Advil. Like, man, when I take Advil, my sleep scores are great. Right. But long term, that's going to eat a hole in your stomach. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, long term, THC-wise, it doesn't look like it's that good, you know, for sleep. If any of the listeners that they, instead of, so Matthew Walker's book, but he has three podcasts that he recorded with Dr. Peter Attia. So he has a podcast called The Drive, and he has three episodes with him that are eye-opening. So
about
they basically, it's pretty much every topic that they go through in the book, he challenges and asks them questions, and he goes through all, I mean, a lot of the stuff that we talked about today. But he they talk about that too, because it's so popular with a CBD, you know, supplement, and CBD is shown that it looks like it does, right? And especially from a subjective perspective.
And then you don't get hot. You don't have that problem.
That's right.
Yeah, that's good.
Magnesium, like you mentioned.
It really helps. I'm surprised.
Well, you can take it in the bath, or I suggest for people, there's a company, it's called Natural Calm, and it's a powder. So people that are used to drinking wine, they can add that to tea. And Thorne makes one. It's a magnesium bisglycinate, basically, and it's the same thing. It's flavored. It actually tastes pretty good. Liposomal melatonin. So anyone that has tried like the pills and say, well, I don't really notice a difference. Who makes it? Da Vinci Labs and Quiksilver Scientific both make a liposomal melatonin. It's a spray. And so you spray it under your tongue.
It's high quality.
And it absorbs fast. So they'll feel it quicker. What else? It's tough to say. Phosphatidylserine. So that is a supplement I suggest for those that have the high cortisol at night. So that is going to help decrease that high cortisol. The other thing that I see most often with my executives is they're eating either keto or paleo, so super low carb, and they feel fantastic during the day, but they're wired at night. So that is that is evolutionarily, right? If you were fasting or you didn't have enough calories or say carbs, sugar, whatever, essentially that's a mechanism that's going to keep you awake longer so that you can forage, right? You can find food. Technically, what I tell people is if you're going super low carb during the day, most people find that if they have carbs with dinner, so insulin and cortisol are inversely proportionate, right? So if you have that big meal, that's why people that eat sugar and carbs for breakfast, they feel lethargic. So that's the one, they'll need three cups of coffee. If they have a low-carb breakfast, they notice that they have more energy and they're more wakeful, you know, in the morning. So it's opposite at night. And it's not all the crap of, well, if I'm not supposed to have carbs after a certain – that's nonsense, right? The other one is if they're waking up in the middle of the night, you know, like I said, from 1 to 3, most of the time I tell people if they had, say, like almonds or almond butter – some type of fat like that before bed,
they'll sleep.
That's right. They won't wake up. That's enough to keep them asleep, especially if they tack that on with that phosphatidylserine.
What a miracle, huh, for people that just have struggled for years.
Well, it just depends. So what they do is they go and they Google all these things and they try to try certain supplements that either are crappy, but then their diet is out of whack. They're still drinking alcohol. They're still pounding, you know, caffeine during the day, but it's a collective. Right. So that's when people ask me, well, what do you do? I pluck out thorns, right? Slowly. It's like, okay, that's a problem.
Start where we can. Huh?
Let's pull that out. Let's pull. But being intentional with knowing, okay, if I want, so all this anti-aging stuff all over the internet right now, people, they don't want to have wrinkles. You know,
I don't want wrinkles.
Nobody wants wrinkles. I'm still waiting for my gray hair.
God didn't hear that one, you know.
But that's, if you actually, you know, wanted to take those first steps. I mean, it's just not sexy.
I always wonder,
getting
though,
the sleep is,
if I slept well, would some of my wrinkles go away?
When I go away,
they wouldn't be as obvious,
well,
I think.
And it wouldn't accumulate.
Dehydration. It's just like these simple things we can do, but you have to do it.
It doesn't fit in our schedule.
No, well, it just doesn't happen. So, well, Tyler, we need to wrap this up. I could listen to you all day. I love your energy. I'm so grateful that you've been on our podcast now three times. And for people that want to know more about you at HPHI, what is your website's address?
It's www.hphi.life.
Yeah, you've got great information on your website. I know people can hire you to be their coach. They can look on your website and get a lot of information and maybe find out more and figure out when they're ready.
Yep.
I know you've got to be ready to make these changes. You
That's
can't
right.
just pay someone. You have to You have to take ownership
That's
of
right.
it. So thank you for being with us on Discover Lafayette. And I also want to thank our listeners. You can go to discoverlafayette.net and hear this and all of our podcasts. And of course, our premier sponsors, we have Iberia Bank at iberiabank.com and Lafayette General. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Raider Solutions. Raider supports our podcast, and we're so grateful for all of their support. Chris Raider, Jason Secor, and the team. Thank you for listening to this episode of Discover Lafayette.